Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning, as we consider the subject of the secret of contentment, Father, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, that they would trust Him as their only way to heaven. Without Christ, there's no contentment. There's no peace. I pray, Father, also for your people. Lord, they face different burdens and different struggles, different obstacles in life. And you desire for us to have a peaceful existence throughout these trials and throughout these troubles. And I pray, Father, your people would gain strength from your word today. I ask you, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit and that you'd help me, that these words could be a blessing to those who hear them. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know the secret of contentment? To be contented is to have a mind at peace, a mind that is not disturbed, quiet, not complaining or demanding more. I believe the secret of contentment is revealed in these two verses that we've already read. The promise is, in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What greater definition for contentment than perfect peace? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word stayed means to prop, to lean on. I believe also we can apply it to mean focused on. If we are propped up on the Lord, if we are leaning on the Lord, we can have perfect peace. The verse goes on to say, a mind stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah there is everlasting strength. The secret of contentment is to trust in the Lord Jehovah. Contentment is a byproduct of trusting God. The pursuit of contentment any other way is completely empty. I don't know if you've seen the bumper sticker that says, no God, no peace, or no God, no peace. It's a play on words, but there's the truth in a nutshell. The secret of contentment is to know God, is to know peace. But not to have God is to have no peace. The peace is for those who trust the Lord Jehovah. Not any old God will do. This everlasting strength and this peace is a byproduct of trusting the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible has revealed Himself throughout history, and His name is Jehovah. He is the self-existent, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God. The pursuit of a God by any other name or the pursuit of any other philosophy of life leads to emptiness. To know Him and to trust Him is to know the secret of contentment. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 in the New Testament. In John chapter 4, there is a woman that meets Jesus Christ at the city well. Jesus is on a journey and he stops to rest at this well. While he is resting, a woman from the city comes to draw water. This woman has looked for contentment everywhere in life except with the Lord Jehovah. She has had relationships. If you read the entire chapter of John chapter 4, you will learn that she has been married 5 times and that she's currently living with another man without being married. We also learn about her that she had religion. She had Samaritan religion. But Jesus told her that salvation is of the Jews. Who is the God of the Jews? The Lord Jehovah. And if our minds are stayed on Him, we can have perfect peace. We can have contentment. She had relationships, she had religion, but she never had contentment. But Jesus offers to her lasting satisfaction, lasting contentment. Notice the offer he makes her in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This woman had never been content. She had never been satisfied. But Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, you'd take it. If you knew about the gift of God, you'd take it. Because if you take the gift of God, you're going to have a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You are going to have a source of peace from within." My question this morning is, have you ever received God's gift of salvation? The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible says in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Jesus came to this earth as a gift. His purpose was to die for the sins of the world. After being buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus resurrected from the tomb and He's alive today. And He desires to give contentment. He desires to give everlasting life. He desires to give forgiveness of sins to all who will receive Him by faith. All you have to do for a gift is take it. Is take it. Have you ever received God's gift of salvation? If you've never received His gift, you'll never have that well of water springing up into everlasting life. You'll never know what true contentment is. But it's a gift. And you can have it today if you will receive it. Now, you can't ask me for the gift, because I'm just like you. I have nothing to offer you, but you can ask Jesus for the gift. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call upon Him and ask Him to save you, He'll save you today. And that's exactly what this woman did. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah. She believed that Jesus was the Savior. And she ran back to town to tell everybody she knew that Jesus knew everything about her. And that Jesus had given her a gift. And many from that town knew her. And they came to see Jesus. And many of them believed. Professional golfer Paul Azinger was diagnosed with cancer at age 33. He had just won a PGA championship and had 10 tournament victories to his credit. He wrote, "A genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. Then another reality hit me even harder. I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It's just a question of when. Everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. All I wanted to do was live." Then he remembered something that Larry Moody, who teaches a Bible study on the tour, had said to him, "Zinger, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living." Golfer Paul Azinger recovered from chemotherapy and returned to the PGA Tour. He's done pretty well, but that bout with cancer deepened his perspective. He wrote, "I've made a lot of money since I've been on tour, and I've won a lot of tournaments, but that happiness is always temporary. The only way you will ever have true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me and I don't have problems, but I feel like I've found the answer to the 6-foot hole." Have you found the answer to the 6-foot hole in the ground? Do you know for sure that when you die, you will live forever with God in heaven? You will never be content until you receive God's gift of salvation. All who hear this message today can be divided into two groups of people. People who know God, people who know God and know peace, or people who do not know God and have no peace. Unless you know the God of the Bible, there is no peace. Those who know God still have problems, as Paul Azinger admitted. And unfortunately, many Christians are not content because they allow their problems to be the focus of their mind rather than the God who saved them. This morning, Christian, are you content? Is your mind at peace? Is your mind not disturbed? Is your mind quiet? Are you not complaining or demanding more? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. I believe Philippians chapter 4 reveals spiritual choices that every Christian can make that will help you to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. What does stayed mean again? It means to be propped up. See what props up the pulpit? That stick. You see that? Without that stick in there, it's not propped up. It's too heavy. It won't. You see, I don't have a pulpit now. But with this little stick in here, it's all propped up. And hopefully I put it up there right so it doesn't fall again. But life And the problems and obstacles of life are too heavy for anyone. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how good a person you are. The things that life throws at you are too heavy. You've got to be propped up by the Lord. That word also means to lean on. To lean on. You can lean on God. He can hold you up. But so often people's minds are so focused on their trials and their troubles and their needs and their problems that they forfeit the peace of God. They forfeit the contentment that God wants them to have. You know, you can read Acts chapter 7. You know, some people say, well, nobody knows how bad I have it. Nobody knows how many troubles I have. Well, read Acts chapter 7. I believe your problems aren't as big as Stephen's problems. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was on the ground and a whole mob of angry Jews were throwing boulders at him. And the Bible says he had a face like an angel as he looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. If there's no miracle of God's grace in that, there is a huge miracle. And if Stephen can face those boulders, I believe we can face our small children. We can face the troubles at work. We can face financial burdens. We can face job loss. We can face moving to a different church building. We can face all of these things because we have a God to lean on. We have a God that can prop us up. Oh, some people complain. They say, that's why I don't believe in religion. I don't need anything to prop me up. Oh, yes, you do need something to prop you up. When's the last time you told your heart to beat or your lungs to breathe? If it wasn't for an almighty God allowing that to happen, you'd be dead. We all need to be propped up. And God wants to prop up our heart. He wants to prop up our emotions. He wants to prop up our life. He wants us to have perfect peace. The Apostle Paul admits here in Philippians 4:11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. When you read the life of the Apostle Paul, he had mountaintops and he had deep valleys. He had times when everybody was clapping for him. And he had times when he was the subject of boulders being thrown at him. He had, specifically here in Philippians 4, he had times when there was no money in the bank account. And he had times when there was extra money in the bank account. And he said with his own lips, he said, I've learned to be content. You'll never be content without the Lord Jehovah. But as we face our trials, even as Christians, there are some choices that we have to make. There are some things that we have to learn so that we can be content in a sometimes difficult life. The secret of contentment is to keep your mind stayed on Him. I believe this chapter reveals choices that we can make that will help us to keep our minds stayed on Him. Number one, to keep your mind stayed on Him, be thankful for God's presence. Be thankful for God's presence. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. We can't always rejoice in our circumstances. Oh, I've got the flu. Yay! You can't always rejoice like that. But you can rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, I lost my job. Yay! You can't. But you can always rejoice in the Lord. He's still on the throne. He knows what's going on. Notice the next verse. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, let people know everything will be okay. God is still at hand. I read Hebrews 13:5 in preparation for this message. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What a wonderful truth. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And we can boldly say, God's going to help me. From Dr. Paul Chappell's book, All Things Through Christ, I read this encouraging story. Jackie Robinson was the first black man to play Major League Baseball. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. Immediately throughout the stadium, fans began to ridicule him. As the ridicule continued, he stood at second base, humiliated and rejected. Suddenly, shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. In a moment of rare courage, Reese put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. In that moment, the fans instantly grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. When you're facing a jeering moment in life, when it seems that the devil has unloaded his entire arsenal on your spiritual life, someone is standing by you. Even when you make an error and Satan condemns you, Jesus Christ comes to your side. He shows his wounded hands and gently places his arm around your shoulder. He is a concerned companion, and he will never leave your side. How do you keep your mind stayed on the Lord as life throws its curveballs and as you make your errors and as trouble comes your way? You've got to remember, Jesus has his arm around you. The Lord is at hand. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The second choice that we can make to keep our mind stayed on him is to be thankful for God's process. To be thankful for God's process. Notice with me verse 6 and verse 7. Be careful for nothing. What does the word careful mean? It means exactly what it says. To be careful. Full of care. The Bible says don't be full of care about anything. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Not only can we not worry about things, God doesn't want us to worry about things, He wants us to thank Him for the things we want to worry about. Let your requests be made known unto God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are some of you worried about the flu? God says, don't be full of care about this. Thank the Lord that we live in Canada. Thank the Lord for these things that come our way. And God says that He'll give you a peace. And you don't have to live frantically and worried. You can live at peace. And the Bible says the peace that God will give you, it won't make sense to the world around us. It says, the peace of God which passes all understanding. People won't understand. Why can you be at peace? Because I've got the Lord Jehovah to lean on. I've got the Lord Jehovah to trust in. You know, the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, I love these verses. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers temptations means various temptations. Count it all joy. That is contrary to human nature. But it's one of the choices we can make as Christians. Because we can realize that no matter what comes our way, God knows it's coming our way. And we can be thankful for it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God often uses those trials and those testings and those hard times to make us more like Jesus Christ. A little girl walking in a garden noticed a particularly beautiful flower. She admired its beauty and enjoyed its fragrance. "It's so pretty," she exclaimed. As she gazed on it, her eyes followed the stem down to the soil in which it grew. "This flower is too pretty to be planted in such dirt," she cried. She pulled it up by the roots and ran to the water faucet to wash away the soil. It wasn't long until the flower wilted and died. When the gardener saw what the little girl had done, he exclaimed, "You have destroyed my finest plant." "I'm sorry, but I didn't like it in that dirt," she said. The gardener replied, "I chose that spot and mixed the soil because I knew that only there could it grow to be a beautiful flower." Often as Christians, we murmur because the circumstances into which God has sovereignly placed us. We fail to realize that He is using our pressures, trials, and difficulties to bring us to a new degree of spiritual beauty. Contentment comes when we accept what God is doing and thank Him for it. I had a difficult trial this last week, but I was preaching on this sermon this Sunday. So as I faced that trial, I had to say many times, "Thank you, Lord, for this trial." And you know, it works. And I read that story about Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese putting his arm around him. And I just felt as I faced that trial, God's arm was right there pulling me close to His side. We can be content as we face life's trials if we thank God not only for His presence, but also for the process. Sometimes God brings trials to make us what He wants us to be. The third choice that we can make to keep our minds stayed on Him is to be thankful for God's provisions. Be thankful for God's provisions. I believe God has provided, first of all, practical steps to keep your mind stayed on Him. Notice verse number 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Where does this battle begin about having a life of contentment? It starts in our thinker. It starts in our mind. But God gives us practical instructions, practical steps to keep our mind stayed on Him. Our mind is always thinking about something. The other night my wife said, "I marvel at a woman's mind." She said, "I was laying there and I couldn't sleep." And I tell her, if you can't sleep, count backwards from 100. It always helps me. So she's there counting backwards from 100. And she said, "I knew exactly what number I was on. And I was thinking about something else." I don't know about you, but the mind, it's always going. And it seems in the last while, I've gone from one situation to another situation. And they kind of consume my mind. But we have practical steps here in verse 8 that we can focus our mind on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report. And if God tells us that we can do that, then we can do it. So if the problems are smacking you in the face, God says you can refocus your mind and think about Him. You can refocus your mind and think about something else. Of course you've got to face the problems. Of course you've got to solve problems. But sometimes in our attempts to solve problems, we make mountains out of those problems. I can confess I have that problem sometimes. And you probably do too at times. God has provided practical steps to keep your mind stayed on Him. Examine what you're thinking. Say, is what I'm thinking biblical? If it's not biblical, ask God to forgive you for those thoughts and refocus on something biblical. You won't know how to think biblically if you never read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible every day and spend time in God's Word, you're not going to have the guide in your mind to think biblically. The Bible says we need to put off the old man, renew the mind, and put on the new man. God can't change you into what He wants you to be. You will never enjoy true contentment if your mind isn't saturated with the Bible. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Dear Christian, if you dust your Bible off on Sunday, put it under your arm and bring it to church, and then you go home Sunday afternoon and you put that Bible down, you don't pick it up till next Sunday, you're going to make a mess of your life. And you're not going to be very content because your mind won't be able to think on the truth. God gives us practical steps for contentment. We need to be thankful for God's provision, and God has provided practical steps. God has also provided patterns to follow. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 9. I was encouraged recently by the visit of Pastor and Mrs. Brown from Michigan. And I think what I enjoyed the most about their visit was they're very peaceful people. Their minds are stayed on the Lord. And they're not worried. Yeah, they have problems in their life, but they're trusting the Lord. They're not the flashiest couple in the world, but they're a couple that's at peace. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 9, he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." You know, sometimes you might just need to look around and say, that person looks a whole lot more peaceful than I am. That person I'm sitting with here at church looks a whole lot more peaceful than I am. I wonder how they live. Maybe there's something you can model, you can watch, and you can follow. There's things that God wants us to do. Paul said, you know, you've learned from me, you've received things from me, you've heard from me, and you've seen an example in me, now do it. If you want a peaceful life, you've got to follow the examples God's provided. You know, there's a great example in Genesis chapter 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. The story of Joseph. You know, Joseph was thrown into jail, falsely accused. But the Bible says the Lord was with him. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave. But the Bible says the Lord was with him. None of our lives even compare to Joseph's hardships. And yet, God gave him contentment in the midst of them all. The life of David, as he ran from Saul, as he was on the move, as Saul tried to kill him, he found peace. He found strength in the Lord. Many of our Psalms in our Bible that bring us much comfort when we're stressed and when we're worried and we're frantic, they were penned by a man that was being hunted to be killed. And what was his crime? Loyalty. He was loyal to Saul. He served Saul. Yet Saul turned against him. And yet David kept his mind stayed on the Lord. Yes, you can read his life. He had valleys where he took his mind off the Lord. But for the most part, he kept his mind focused on the Lord. He kept leaning on the Lord Jehovah. God has provided practical steps. God has provided patterns to follow. God has provided people in our life to keep our mind stayed on Him. Look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. The Apostle Paul was thanking the Philippian church for sending an offering to him. Paul was a missionary, and the Philippian church gathered an offering together and sent it by messengers to the Apostle Paul. And he said, I'm so thankful for you in my life. And I believe one aspect of being content is realizing that God has provided people in your life to help you and to encourage you. If you're here today, you have a church family. You may not have another family, but you have a church family. If you're privileged to have a husband or wife or a godly children, you have an intimate, close family. But everybody has someone. Everybody that's here today has someone. I read this excerpt from a book. Have you ever seen those books, Chicken Soup for the Soul? Often you can find encouraging things in there. But I think sometimes our hearts are all anxious and discontent, and we don't enjoy what God has put into our life. We don't enjoy the people God has put into our life. A man writes this story. While waiting to pick up a friend at the airport, I had one of those life-changing experiences that you hear other people talk about. This one occurred a mere 2 feet away from me. Straining to locate my friend among the passengers deplaning through the jetway. Have you ever been at the airport? Walked up the jetway and you know, back before 9/11, you could wait at the gate for people to walk up that jetway. This story must be a little bit old. So he's waiting there looking for his friend. It says, I noticed a man coming toward me carrying 2 bags. He stopped right next to me to greet his family. First he motioned to his youngest son, maybe 6 years old, as he laid down his bags. They gave each other a long, loving hug. As they separated enough to look in each other's face, I heard the father say, It's so good to see you, son. I missed you so much. His son smiled somewhat shyly and replied softly, Me too, Dad. Then the man stood up, gazed in the eyes of his oldest son, maybe 9 or 10, and while cupping his son's face in his hand, said, You're already quite the young man. I love you very much, Zach. They too hugged a most loving, tender hug. While this was happening, a baby girl, perhaps 1 or 1.5, was squirming excitedly in her mother's arms, never once taking her little eyes off the wonderful sight of her returning father. The man said, Hi, baby girl, as he gently took the child from her mother. He quickly kissed her face and then held her close to his chest. The little girl instantly relaxed and laid her head on his shoulder, motionless and pure contentment. After several moments, he handed his daughter to his oldest son and declared, I've saved the best for last, and proceeded to give his wife the longest kiss I have ever remember seeing. He gazed into her eyes for several seconds and then silently mouthed, I love you so much. They stared at each other's eyes, beaming with big smiles at one another, while holding both hands. For an instant, they reminded me of newlyweds, but I knew by the age of their kids that they couldn't possibly be. I puzzled about it for a moment and then realized how totally engrossed I was in the wonderful display of unconditional love, not more than an arm's length from me. I suddenly felt uncomfortable, as if I was invading something sacred, but was amazed to hear my own voice nervously ask, Wow, how long have you two been married? 12 years, he replied. Well then, how long have you been away? I asked. The man finally turned and looked at me, still beaming his joyous smile. 2 whole days, he replied. 2 days? I was stunned by the intensity of the greeting. I had assumed he'd been gone for at least several weeks, if not months. I know my expression betrayed me. I said almost offhandedly, hoping to end my intrusion with some semblance of grace, "I hope my marriage is still that passionate after 12 years. The man suddenly stopped smiling. He looked me straight in the eye, and with a forcefulness that burned right into my soul, he told me something that left me a different person. "Don't hope, friend. Decide. Don't hope, friend. Decide." Then he flashed me his wonderful smile again, shook my hand, and said, "God bless." With that, he and his family turned and strode away together. One of the secrets of contentment is to be thankful for the people in your life and to decide to be thankful for them every day. But God has provided one more thing. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 13. We've seen that God has provided for us practical steps to keep our minds stayed on Him. God has provided patterns to follow to keep our minds stayed on Him. There's examples out there that you can find. Examples right here in this church. God has provided people in our life to keep our minds stayed on Him. And then lastly, God has provided power through Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do everything that God wants you to do through Christ. Not through your own strength, but through Christ you can. I believe sometimes people do things that Christ doesn't want them to do. Sometimes we choose more burdens than God made us to bear. But you can do all things through Christ that Christ wants you to do. These are the secrets of contentment. In closing this morning, do you know the Lord Jehovah? Have you accepted the salvation that has been provided for you through His Son? Remember the little sign I put up? No God, no peace. K-N-O-W. No God, you'll know peace. But if there's no God, there's no peace. And if the God that you're worshiping or the God that you're trying to serve is not the Lord Jehovah, you'll be empty. You will never be content. Because He is the only one that offers the gift of everlasting life. A gift that springs up inside of you that will satisfy your life and bring contentment to your life. If you do not know the Lord Jehovah personally, I would challenge you this morning to ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and be your Savior. He'll bring contentment, lasting peace to your life. Christian, are you content? Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I read recently in a book, a man was commenting on the life of Christ. He said, as you read the 4 Gospels and you read about the life of Jesus, He never got in a hurry. He never was stressed out. I think, Christian, if you're stressed out, God wants you to make some changes. God didn't design you to live that way. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh yes, there's trials and there's burdens. But God says that you can carry them all with a peaceful heart. You can carry all of His burdens with a peaceful heart. Christian, are you content? Is your mind at peace? Is your mind not disturbed? Is your mind quiet? Are you not complaining or demanding more? Are you thankful for His presence? Are you thankful for His process? Are you thankful for His provisions? Remember, like Pee Wee Reese, He is standing there with His arm around you. And if you're His child, He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Keep your mind stayed on Him. That is the secret of contentment.